You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Monday, May 9th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. More on Osama bin Laden, the president goes on 60 Minutes last night. Reveals some interesting details. Republicans, they want to destroy Medicare. It's the only element of the Paul Ryan budget that saves any money, the destruction of Medicare. And now they seem to be abandoning it. We're asking conservatives to call in today at 646-257-3920. Give them an opportunity to make the case. Why should we destroy Medicare? Why should we eliminate it? I expect almost zero calls. Somewhere between zero and zero calls from conservatives today. But never let it be said that I won't give them an opportunity to speak. 646-257-3920. We'll have an update on what's going on in Detroit. Apparently that bailout worked. Big time. You don't hear much about it. And around the states, the Republicans, it's not enough just to destroy Medicare. They want to punish the unemployed at a time of record unemployment. Does that sound like a jobs program to you? Why even have a jobs program if you're going to let these people just wither away in poverty? Why even bother? So last night, I will say this to any conservative who is listening now. When you call, Evan will answer the phone. You can tell him whatever you want to tell him. You don't have to lie. We will put you on right away. If you want to lie, I understand that very hard habit to break for conservatives. Let's just listen to Alan West for a moment. I want to get into this Osama bin Laden stuff, but you've got Alan West who's out there on a megachurch tour, a town hall where he won't allow any questions that haven't been pre-screened, and not the screening that we do here where Evan just says, where are you calling from? But the kind of thing like, this question's too difficult. I don't want to answer this one. And it's quite evident why the guy doesn't want to answer any questions, because he's got a whole set of slides with a whole pack of lies. The same guy who said, you'll remember, was talking about the Spartan men, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but also about how our women are neutering us or emasculating us. And the guy's a nut job, but he also is, it seems, a pathological liar. And the interesting thing I have to say, that as we saw this round of town halls, when Republican congressmen went back to their districts and found out that even Republicans don't want to cut Medicare, don't want to destroy it, which is why they're backing off this thing for the the debt deal and for the 2012 budget. As far as I can tell, Republicans don't even have a budget proposal at this point that would do anything in terms of the deficit. It is, surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
Simply a means in which to cut taxes on the wealthy. Again. So here is Alan West lying about who owns our debt. Because, you know, I get a lot of emails from people who say, like, you got to watch, you know, this website or that website. And they're talking about how the dollar is going to go down the tubes and China's going to all of a sudden we're going to be using the yuan as the national, the international currency. And that's just a bunch of BS. You're just carrying water for your Gallatin overlords who want to make sure that we have no inflation that would in any way devalue their loans, their treasury bonds. The only guy who wants some measure of inflation is the head of PIMCO. That's why he's calling for more work to be done on unemployment in this country, because they shorted treasury bonds and he's nervous. He's the only guy, I think, which is why he's now going out there talking about unemployment all of a sudden. So here are a mega church full of Republicans listening to Alan West not only confuse Japanese and Chinese people, because whatever, but also lying about how much debt China owns. All right, here it is.
Okay, who owns our debt? This is historically what our debt looks like. You can see from 1970, foreign holdings 5%. To where we are today, foreign holdings of our debt is at 47%. Next slide. And that is who holds our debt. 29% in China, Japan, and you can see the rest. I don't know if you all have seen that commercial that's been running on TV.
Okay, wait a second. Now let's back it up. Let's play this. First off, he says, who owns our debt? He says 47% of our debt is owned by foreigners. And that's more or less accurate. We have, well, let me just point out the first lie. He says, how much did he say, Matt, Evan, you heard the clip, right? How much of our debt does China own, according to Alan West? You want to hear it again?
Let's
listen
to
it again. Listen carefully.
Okay, who owns our debt? This is historically what our debt looks like. You can see from 1970, foreign holdings 5%. To where we are today, foreign holdings of our debt is at 47%. Next slide. And that is who holds our debt. 29% in China, Japan.
Okay, stop it. How much of our debt, according to Alan West, does China own?
29%.
Yes. Sorry. No, what Alan West was actually trying to say was that of the 40% of our debt that is owned by foreign nations, China owns 7.5%. That includes Hong Kong. 7.5% of that 40%. This is a U.S. Treasury Department as of September 2010. Actually, really, I guess November 1st, 2010. Now, maybe let's give them a little. China may have bought more of our debt. Why would they buy more of our debt if our dollar's about to crash? They own 7, maybe 8% of that 40%, which is about probably 29%, maybe a little less, actually. But they own 29% of all the foreign entities that own our debt. 11.5% of our debt is owned by a bunch of foreign nations. China owns 7.5%. Japan, 6.4%. Actually, they even own less than that foreign countries, because 6% is owned by the U.S. Civil Service Retirement Fund. 18%, and this is going to come as a shock to everybody, is owned by the Social Security Trust Fund. Remember how I've been saying over and over again that this money was borrowed, and it's earning interest. 42% is owned by U.S. individuals and U.S. institutions. And then, of course, just to cap it off, Alan West talks about an ad that some scaremongers are putting out there where it's a Chinese guy. And he confuses it with a Japanese guy. Just because, hey, if you're going to be ignorant about numbers and dollars, why not also be ignorant about, hey, listen, they all got the slanty eyes. Let's be honest. Ching, 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 whatever, with the Chinese, Japanese. They use chopsticks, right? Why are we splitting hairs here? Just unbelievable. So, yeah, when you wonder about this stuff that goes around the internet, people don't even realize how they're being duped. And certainly the conservatives don't. Meanwhile, like I said, President Obama on 60 Minutes last night talking about the raid, which it's quite apparent was simply to kill Osama bin Laden. Like I say, my biggest lament, I don't frankly care if that guy lives or dies. We killed over 100,000 innocent civilians in Iraq. 4,500 of our U.S. military personnel died in battle for a lie, for a total lie. We've killed thousands of Afghani civilians. The idea that Osama bin Laden is dead and died because we executed him, I don't care. The biggest, the real thing that we should mourn in this instance is the fact that what was once a source of pride for this country, our ability to actually actually put people like this on trial, like the guys who attempted to blow up the World Trade Center in 93. We've lost that ability. We have lost. We have given away. We have thrown in the garbage can one of the most important American values that we had was our sense of a judiciary handing out justice. What are you going to do? But meanwhile, as the stories roll in about this, and this is stuff that I've been alluding to and have been speculating on since Monday. When I was on Radigan last week on Monday, I was asking these experts, what do we have to give to Pakistan? They clearly knew that he was there. And I think it's becoming even more clear, as I've speculated over the week, that he was probably in prison. Probably under house arrest in Pakistan, at least for the past 5 years. Obama made it clear last night on 60 Minutes that bin Laden has been held up in that villa for 5 years. That's not what a fugitive does. Fugitives do not stay in one place for 5 years.
Especially when there's people on American television in 2008 telling them they know where they are.
And when you have Christine Amanpour going on Bill Maher saying that U.S. military personnel, U.S. military intelligence, knew that he was in a villa in Pakistan in 2008. And George Bush closed down the CIA agency, ALEC, that was tasked with finding bin Laden. So I think what's becoming clear, New York Times, the story of bin Laden, the picture of bin Laden sitting on the floor in a small room wrapped in a blanket as he watched news clips about himself on television. Washington Post, as intelligence officials scrutinized an image of the compound, they saw that a man emerged most days to stroll around the grounds and courtyard for an hour or two. That's almost like what they had with Bradley Manning in Washington Post also summing it up. In 2006, bin Laden swore not to die but a free man, but Osama bin Laden died a prisoner in a jail of his own making. A man without a nation, living apart even from those who shared his belief that mass murder was the path to power. This guy, it was as if he was in a prison. The world's most wanted terrorist lived his last 5 years in prison behind the barbed wire and high walls of his home in Abbottabad, Pakistan, his days consumed by dark arts and domesticity. This sounds to me like a guy under house arrest in Pakistan, and it also sounds to me like our intelligence services, at least as late as early as 08, maybe in 05, maybe in 2002, when George Bush said, I'm not that worried about him. We knew that he was being held by the Pakistanis. And yet he was used as a boogeyman over and over and over again. And the real question that needs to be asked now is, why did Pakistan decide this was the time to give him up? What did we have to give in exchange? Why wasn't the Bush administration pressuring Pakistan to give him up? These are all the questions that aren't being asked. You had a guy who went on Democracy Now! The other day, Graham Smith, from the Globe and Mail newspaper in Britain, saying that, you know, there were gas meters and electric meters for that compound. And we can't quite find out who owns it, but it was military land he was living on. Now, apparently the Pakistani military rents, leases, land all the time. But it really does make one wonder how it is that Osama bin Laden would build a compound, live there for 5 years, around the corner from the Pakistani West Point, and they never knew. So this isn't just the ISI at this point, right? This is the Pakistani military. Graham Smith said, you know, it was described initially as a mansion, but it really did look more like a security compound of some kind, almost like a small prison. So these are the questions that should be asked at this point. Now, of course, I know how inappropriate it is to look back, to not turn the page. When we come back, take a quick break here. Talk about this story that, I don't know, one could surmise that at the very least, we were looking to capture bin Laden's children and wives to elicit more information from them. But on closer look, this may be just some kabuki theater. Because I wonder if we really want to know what we would find. Phone lines still open for conservatives only. We'll take other calls later in the program, but conservatives only. So far, we have had zero conservative callers at 646-257-3920. I know there are some listening. I know. I am looking at our... Or it could just be randomly we have some new listeners who are live. That's possible. 646-257-3920. If you're a conservative, I want to hear why you think Medicare should be destroyed. And why do you think the Republicans are now backing off their own plans to destroy Medicare? Remember, it was only 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they voted in favor of Ryan's proposal in the House. We'll be right back. So now we're seeing, as reported by Reuters, that National Security Advisor Thomas E. Donilon said Pakistan remains a critical partner in battling al-Qaeda despite new strains in the relationship a week after the raid in Abbottabad. But he acknowledged that Pakistani officials have not granted Americans access to important information gathered since the raid or allowed interviews with bin Laden family members now in Pakistan's custody. We've asked for access, obviously, to those folks, he said on ABC's This Week. I wonder, do we really want access to those people? Pakistani intelligence official Reuters also reported, said that one of bin Laden's daughters, I guess she was 12 or 13 years old, saw her father being executed by U.S. forces and was one of about 10 relatives of the al-Qaeda leader in custody, pending interrogation. One of bin Laden's and up to 8 children will be interrogated and then probably turned over to their countries of origin and not the United States, in accordance with Pakistani law, he said. You know, I really wonder if it would help us turn the page on what the Bush administration was up to if we learned anything from those people. And I also wonder, would we treat them in the same way we did with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's two kids who are under the age of 10 and interrogate them? Hold them prisoner for an extended period of time. Use them as leverage if we found that waterboarding didn't work. What is it that we were fighting this war on terror because they hate our American values? What is it that we're protecting here? What is it that we have sent thousands of U.S. military personnel to protect? Just our ability to go to Walmart? Gas? No greater than $4.50 a gallon. Is that what it was? And meanwhile, in the wake of this, the douchebags come out of the woodwork. I mentioned, I think, the other day that a teacher in Houston told a ninth grade Muslim girl, "I bet you're grieving for your Uncle Osama." Fortunately, that person was suspended. But yeah, I want that lady, I think she was a woman, the teacher, I want her teaching my kids as opposed to a gay guy. Because the gay guy may spread the gayness onto my child. Whereas this Houston teacher will just spread the horrible bigotry against Muslims. And meanwhile, Delta Airlines, taking a break from their union busting. Last night, I guess this was in Georgia. I'm sorry, from Tennessee. Delta Airline pilot kicked two Muslim guys off the plane because they were dressed in Muslim garb. As reported by WBTV, two Muslim men were removed from a plane headed to North Carolina. The incident occurred Friday on a flight from Tennessee to North Carolina. Masood Rahman and Muhammad Zaghloul were wearing the traditional Muslim attire. Horrible. Horrible. And the sad part about this is that the two guys were on their way to Charlotte to attend a conference of imams where they would be discussing Islamophobia, the fear of Islam.
Well, you have to remember that on 9/11, all 19 hijackers were wearing the traditional Muslim garb.
Of course they were. Of course they were. I mean, are we stopping white Christians who wear the traditional garb of white Christians in this country so they don't blow up a federal building or assassinate abortion doctors? I mean, should that be part of the profiling? I think, Matt, you're okay, but Evan, you look like a guy I would pull off and put right into a prison to interrogate.
That's fair.
And meanwhile, speaking of douchebaggery, our own Senator Chuck Schumer, he who would not even contemplate the idea that hedge fund guys who make their income from hedge funds would be taxed at a rate in which the rest of us are taxed for our income, but rather capital gains. You know, capital gains are supposed to promote investment, right? That's why capital gains are so important. You don't want to discourage people investing in our country, investing in companies that will create jobs. Has a hedge fund manager ever created a job beyond their assistant? The person who answers the phones there?
Chauffeurs.
Chauffeurs, I guess. But I believe that if they were actually taxed above the 15% capital gains tax, they'd still have a chauffeur.
Probably.
I don't think that would be the first thing that they would. I'm curious as to what. So Chuck Schumer on Sunday, and one of the things that we found in the Al-Qaeda documents is that there was a contemplation of a plan to sabotage a train, an Amtrak train, by fiddling with the tracks. And so, of course, what's the natural response? Well, the natural response is we should have a no-ride list so that all the bullshit we put up with to get on a plane, all the no-fly lists that keep people like, I think, Senator Ted Kennedy was kept off one of those, was on one of those lists. We can now have that for the train because we all know that someone could get on a train and magically change the direction of the tracks from being inside that train. Well, what could they do? They could blow up the train. Well, maybe we should have a no-shop list, too, in Macy's. Because I have a feeling if you go in with the same bomb that you would go on with the train in Macy's, you'd kill about the same amount of people.
Probably more.
And a no, we should have a no-ride list on the subway. Why would that be any less? You probably have more people on the subway, any given subway, than most trains. Certainly more congested. It would do more damage, probably. It would cost more money. How about a no-see a baseball game? No-see a football game? Just unbelievable. The preening, just the retardedness of this.
I think that train plot tells us more about the sort of weakness of their grand schemes.
Right, they shot their load.
Yeah,
we have just the bar has dropped from. We don't want the mushroom cloud to be the smoking gun. We don't want nuclear devastation. Like, you know, we may see in Japan, for instance. We don't want that. Down to, hey, we're going to have to check everybody who takes a taxi cab. We're going to have a no taxi cab list because you could blow up the taxi.
I remember reading, though, that the TSA was trying to get their security measures on Amtrak, and Amtrak fought hard against it. Like, they stood up against it and said it doesn't help at all, and they
don't
want it.
Of course not. Of course it doesn't. That's ridiculous.
So I'd like to assume that they're going to, if they try again, if someone tries again, Amtrak will once again fight back against
it. Well, we'll see now that there is some type of, like, move in the Senate. Just the retardedness that comes out from something like this. We learn nothing. We learn nothing. And now, in the wake of Obama assassinating bin Laden, is it any surprise that we had tried to now assassinate an American citizen because we didn't like his videos? Or not we, just the president. Now you don't need any we involved here. The president can unilaterally say, I don't like that guy's videos. Let's drop a drone bomb on him. Drone strike in Yemen, as reported, missile strike from an American military drone in a remote region of Yemen on Thursday was aimed at killing Anwar al-Awlaki, the radical American-born. He's not just American, he's an American citizen. Cleric believed to be hiding in the country. The attack does not appear to have killed Mr. Awlaki, the official said, but may have killed operatives of al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen. May have also just killed a sheep herder. Who knows? Maybe there are no sheep herders there. Maybe it was just somebody on their way to a wedding. Or who knows? We used to have this thing called the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I have it down here. There's no reason to bring it out. We don't really need it. But there was something about due process of law. He's an American citizen, but he makes bad videos. And, of course, like I say, Bin Laden won. The idea that we could have said in 2000, hey, do you think there's one guy who could essentially tear down our constitutional, like destroy like one, at least one or two amendments, free speech, due process, habeas corpus. You think there's one guy who could do that? Would you say that if he could do that, would he have won if that's what he was looking to do, to destroy our American values? Sure sounds like it to me. Speaking of another terrorist, John Bonaire, I don't like his videos either. I've seen his videos. I don't like them. I would imagine Obama doesn't have a problem with his videos or he would order him to be assassinated. Right? I mean,
it's a good thing Ron Paul isn't president. Otherwise, your videos aren't too over with the Ron Paul crowd. So
well, yeah, but fortunately, it's just the president himself that gets to choose. So maybe Ron Paul wouldn't mind my videos. House Speaker John Bonaire will step up his efforts Monday to lay out a strategy for raising the debt ceiling to a crowd. Oh, he's going. Oh, I see. He got called into the boss's office. The debt ceiling to a crowd heavy on Wall Street players who are anxiously waiting, watching the fierce debate over the debt ceiling unfold. In a speech to the Economic Club of New York in Midtown Manhattan, the Ohio Republican is set to reiterate to leading financial executives that he believes destroying Medicare should be part of negotiations in raising the debt ceiling, saying there needs to be an honest conversation in which we will pretend we are not destroying Medicare because the program is on an unsustainable path if it's not destroyed. Now, of course, Bonaire won't tie it too closely because Eric Cantor and just about every other Republican has basically retreated from the Ryan Medicare. So even, I think Ryan has too, even. After voting on it, these guys lost big time on this because it turns out 70% of Americans don't want Medicare cut. I was on Larry Kudlow's program on CNBC Friday night. And he had trouble accepting it. Well, polls say all sorts of things. Whatever. Well, they do. That's true. But show me a poll that says the American people want Medicare cut or destroyed. That's what the Republican plan is. So they can make way for tax cuts for millionaires. That's in Ryan's plan. That's Ryan's plan. That's why Ryan's plan, when you take out the destruction of Medicare, actually increases our deficit and debt. Because he eliminates more revenue. This is the thing that conservatives don't understand. And if one calls in at 646-257-3920 today in our little experiment to see if anyone, maybe they don't, maybe my premise is wrong. Maybe even these Republicans, maybe even these conservatives don't want to see their Medicare destroyed. It's quite possible. Bonaire is going to be taking questions from Pete Peterson. Pete Peterson is the billionaire private equity giant who worked for Nixon, who has basically been screaming about the deficit and wanting to destroy Social Security so that he can transfer. Again, I take you back to that graph. Who holds, to whom does the U.S. government owe money? The second largest and perhaps the single largest. The single largest entity to whom the U.S. government owes money to is the Social Security Trust Fund. 18% of our debt is held by the Social Security Trust Fund. Why was that necessary? Because when George Bush cut taxes on millionaires and the rest of us, frankly, he drained our budget of revenue. And now they want to steal that money. They don't want to pay that money back. Because if Pete Peterson, if the U.S. government pays that money back, Pete Peterson, that billionaire, he's going to have to pay a chunk of it. Because it's going to have to come from somewhere. And we know that billionaires and millionaires' taxes are at an all-time low as an effective tax rate, as a share of their income, as a share of GDP, by any measure other than the fantasy world that conservatives live in. The dupes. I mentioned that Quinnipiac poll. I brought it up to Larry Kudlow. It was like kryptonite for that guy. And meanwhile, across the states, Republicans continue to do their damage. You have multiple attempts by conservatives in the states to cut unemployment and successful unemployment benefits. The CBO has released data showing that unemployment insurance kept 3.3 million people above the poverty line in 2009. Michigan cut the number of state-sponsored initial weeks from 26 to 20, effective in January. Usually unemployment insurance starts 26 weeks with the states, and then it's the rest of the, it's picked up by the federal government. So there's going to be a gap here. There's going to be less unemployment funding for these people. And Annie Lowry in Slate reports that some states needed to make a certain simple legislative fix to ensure that the federal government kept on kicking in its share of weeks of benefits. Weeks of benefits already budgeted for and paid for in Washington. A number of states failed to do so. So on April 16th, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Wisconsin all lost 20 weeks of federal benefits. 5 months of unemployment insurance, effective immediately. Missouri did on April 2nd as well. This week, House Republicans introduced a bill that effectively encourages states to whittle back their unemployment insurance systems. The legislation written by Representative Dave Camp, the head of the Ways and Means Committee, gives states the option of using federal employment benefits for other job creation programs. Job creation is defined as including repaying federal loans or providing tax breaks for businesses. The idea that people on, this is the best part. Meanwhile, in Florida, you got Rick Scott doing this very thing. This guy is just a moron, and he's going to destroy that state. A bill that would establish some of the deepest and most far-reaching cuts in unemployment benefits is heading for the desk of Governor Rick Scott after being passed by the Florida Senate and Assembly. The legislation would cut maximum state benefits to 23 weeks from 26 when the jobless rate is 10.5% or higher. If lower, the maximum would decline on a sliding scale until bottoming at 12 weeks if the jobless rate was 5% or less. Senator Nancy Dietrich, Republican, says that cutting benefits encourages people to get back into the job market. despite the fact that research for the San Francisco Federal Reserve has found that workers who qualify for unemployment benefits stay unemployed just on average 1.6 weeks longer than those who don't qualify. 8 days. 8 days longer. Enjoying all that big, big unemployment money. And Rick Scott's going to use this savings in unemployment benefits to give tax cuts to corporations. Meanwhile, also in what is quickly becoming the stupidest state in the nation, Florida, there is a law pending that would make it illegal for pediatricians, according to Raw Story, to ask families whether guns are being kept safely in the patients' homes. Anybody with kids knows that your doctor asks all sorts of questions depending on where you live. Do you have child guards on your windows? Do you have a safety gate in front of a fence, in front of your stairs? Do you have safety locks? Are your cleaning fluids out of the reach of your children? Do you have any guns in the home? Well, this pending law in what is quickly becoming one of the stupidest states in the country. This is an NRA-backed measure that would put a gag order on doctors for asking about guns. Now, remember, you don't have to answer these questions from the doctors. I once had a pediatrician who said to me, like, you know, what do you do? When Milo was born, I was told her I was, you know, I radio host, but a comedian primarily, because at that time, that's more or less what I was doing. And she immediately said, you know, you shouldn't drink in front of the child. What? What? Why do you think that I, why would you ask that question? Do you drink a lot in front of the child? No, I don't. What are you talking about? Child is 3 months old, first of all. Does she have the ability to tell, like, I'm drinking wine as opposed to soda?
Has she dated a comedian and it went poorly?
I get that would be my guess. I mean, it's a legitimate question to ask in general, I guess. But I don't like the inference. The bill has been ratified by both houses of the Florida State Legislature and awaits the signature of Governor Rick Scott. So they're going to destroy the First Amendment right of a doctor to ask a question that you as a patient don't have to answer to support the made-up right that the Second Amendment, I guess, means that nobody can ask you if you keep your guns safely. And finally, coming out of the stupidest state in the nation, Florida, Amtrak and rail projects in 15 states are being awarded the $2 billion that Florida lost after the governor canceled plans for a high-speed train service there. The largest share of the money, $800 million, will be used to upgrade train speeds from 135 miles per hour to 160 miles per hour on critical segments of the heavily traveled Northeast Corridor. Excellent. I couldn't be more excited. Thank you, you idiots in Florida. Another $404 million will go to expand high-speed rail service in the Midwest, including newly constructed segments of the 110 mile per hour track between Detroit and Chicago. They're expected to save passengers 30 minutes in travel time. On behalf of all those passengers, thank you, you idiots in Florida. Nearly $340 million will go towards state-of-the-art locomotives and rail cars for California and the Midwest. California will also get another $300 million toward trains that will travel up to 220 miles per hour between San Francisco and L.A. Again, thank you, you morons in Florida, from all those people who will be getting the new jobs and the creation of those locomotives. We'll be working on the upkeep of those railways and all the people who'll be able to travel quickly and enhance their careers and their productivity, spend more time with their kids, achieve more at work. They all thank you, you morons in Florida. Because you are so stupid as to elect those morons in your state Assembly and Senate and the governor who sits upon his throne there having bilked Medicare for billions of dollars that led to his $1.3 billion fine. Just a reminder, the idiot Governor Scott Walker turned down $810 million to build the Madison to Milwaukee high-speed line, and Ohio Governor John Kasich rejected a $400 million project to connect Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus. God forbid you'd let those people from Milwaukee come quickly to Madison to protest your other idiotic moves. Well, folks, the experiment's over. Republicans, of course, are cowards. Conservatives, cowards. Or they don't want to see their Medicare cut, in which case they're just massive hypocrites. So I will take the rest of you thinking people's phone calls at 646-257-3920. I believe there are at least three people out there now who owe me money ranging from $1 to $10 or a sushi dinner, as it were, based on my having fulfilled my end of the bargain and tweeting out to Republicans and conservatives the TCOT surterm and proof that not one called. How many called, Evan, just to verify this?
Zero calls.
Zero calls. So I will now let right-thinking people, intelligent people, thoughtful people call this program at 646-257-3920. We will take all calls now, and I will take your IMs at Majority FM. Folks, if you have the opportunity to become a Majority Report member, please, please, please do so. Don't forget to use our Amazon link, and for the best in fair trade coffee, tea, chocolate, justcoffee.coop. Put in the coupon code MAJORITY and you get 10% discount. We'll be back in just a moment.